We also want to do a little drop of the week right now. We normally do it Friday, 9 o'clock hour, but we're not here tomorrow because 4th of July. Hope everyone has a good, safe 4th of July. Have fun with family and friends. We're moving drop of the week up to today. We're doing it now. There's a lot related to me and Jack, maybe some other stuff. Seltzer, let's roll the drop of the week.
Hallelujah.
It's the drop.
Krzyzewski
of the week.
Did it fall?
All right, Seltzer, what are we looking at, sir?
All right, let's dive in. We got a lot of Joe versus Jack content for this drop.
Do we have anything else?
So there's two drops. Okay. One technically has to do with it, but it's not because of that. But anyway, all right, let's dive in. First and foremost, I mean, started off, I will not play the full 15-minute breakdown, like detailed breakdown of hole by hole. But when Joe told us what happened in the golf match.
He took, I think, 8 or 9 straight shots. I'm lying 4. He's lying 13. I chip onto the green. He concedes 1-0 hammer.
Wow!
I am so proud of
you.
Yes! Congratulations!
I appreciate it.
Wow!
Thank you. I like that. Big old smile on my
face
right there.
Man.
Thank you,
sir.
Deserved.
Now, what
Thank
I will say, we've had this high road hammer thing going this week, which is, you know, you had its moments.
You find it a little annoying, don't you?
A little annoying.
Tom, have you been following this? Like, I'm not. There's none of.
Hammer!
And there's none of. Not doing any of that.
None of it.
First off, there's still work to be done. And I think it's... And also, I don't want to bury Jack emotionally, so I'm looking out for him.
Well, I think... Well, I don't believe that for a second. I think that's getting in his head is your seeming lack of confidence that we all know is not really lack of confidence.
That's right. That's right. Oh, we got a comment about your confidence, too, coming. But luckily, since the hammer decided not to take the low road... We have our guy Anthony in Jersey who hammered out for us.
Let's go to Anthony in New Jersey. Anthony, good morning.
Hey, John, you like that? You like that? You like that? Man, UFC,
yeah, I guess.
UFC, the hammer, and 3. Bang! That's what you do. Boom, boom. How you like that? Hey, hammer, I don't care what you say. Don't rub it in his face.
I'm not rubbing it in his face.
The afternoon. I'm calling the afternoon show at 2:55. I want to speak to that oaf. I told him Friday. You couldn't put a locker in the locker. You oaf. Oh, let's go, Hammer.
Thanks, Anthony. That's pretty good.
That was really good. That Anthony bringing it. That was really good stuff.
Yes, sir.
All right, let's keep it rolling. I hated to do it, but it's funny. So this was my comment about Jack.
Yeah, I would say he was in much better shape after the first shot. But you know,
let's go to Jack for comment.
Oh, come on.
Sorry.
Wait, and that's his friend.
Wow.
I had to. I saw the opportunity for good content, and I had to take it. I'm sorry, Jack.
Do you think that bothered him?
I'm sure. But you know what? Sometimes you got to have fun with stuff.
Yeah.
It's what it is. That, you know the way I get with you and Hammer. Like, we're doing a radio show here.
Yeah.
That is my primary thing that I'm talking about.
Let's not take it so serious.
We're doing
a
radio show. We're having fun with this, so I'm going to have fun with it.
Okay.
Nothing personal, but
I
love Jack.
I know you do.
All right,
by the way, so do I. He's a great guy.
I love him. He's one of my best friends on the planet.
Yes.
All right, let's keep it rolling. The one thing that has nothing to do with Joe versus Jack, but it had to be in here, because when Richie screws up the end of 7, you got to put it in.
Next, we have in the movie 7, when Brad Pitt realizes that the love of his life's head is
in the
box.
What's in the box?
Yes. All right. That's a big one.
That was great.
You can't imitate the line if you don't know the line, John. Come on, man.
You know what's messed up? There was a bag with a head in it, and it was in Clash of the Titans. Clash of the Titans, which was like formative for me.
Completely different movie, right? Isn't there 8 heads in a duffel bag?
Oh, there's
the
that Pesci one, too. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
By the way, TK, I don't know if you know, when Richie saw Ransom afterwards, he said, "Give me back my daughter!"
I've never seen Ransom, I'm not going to lie. So I don't know that reference.
To give me back my son.
Can you imagine it just misquoting all the lines?
Yeah, that would be. With a lot
Luke,
of confidence.
I am your mother.
Yeah.
Exactly.
All right,
that's great. Let's keep it rolling. The afternoon show commented, Jack Fritz, here was his opening statement, or at least a piece of it, on the debacle at the golf course.
Rick Ankiel, Mark Elfaltz, Scott Brosius, Jack Fritz. I mean, that's what yesterday was. Yesterday was not the camera beating me. Yesterday was me losing that. And it was a total embarrassment, an absolute embarrassment. That's probably the worst round of golf I've played in 20 years. And I think I got totally psyched out of my own mind.
Bad time for your worst round of golf.
Poor guy. So do something about it, Jack. I don't think that he even accepts responsibility. It doesn't feel like he's taking that and saying, you know what, next time I do this, I won't let that happen again. That's my fear.
Well, I think that's their fear, too, because he's saying stuff like this.
Baseball, there's a mental aspect that I am now worried about. Yesterday, I am. I don't know what to tell you.
I mean, he's in his head about it.
He's so in his head.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
That's not good.
You're worried about the mental aspect for baseball. Dude, you got to fix that. It is on you. Figure it out.
Yeah.
I hear you.
He definitely has to. He also, I mentioned it before, he is learning something that we on the morning show have known for a very long time, that Joe is insanely confident.
I tell you what, he's got some kind of confidence thing.
Like, well, he's always had
it. Just blocks it out.
He thinks he's going to be president.
And he might.
That was a good response.
That may have actually made my week more than winning in golf.
That was really funny. All right, we got to get to Ike because Ike, shout out to Ike because Ike really just calls it
Ike was disgusted.
Ike calls it like he sees it. This was probably the haymaker line.
Yesterday was disgraceful. Let me just put it out there. I don't know what else.
It was horrible.
I don't know any other way to say it.
It was horrible.
Mike, I don't know any other way to say it.
Oh, man. That could win.
I love Mike
honestly,
so much.
The video of Ike out as the caddy on the course trying
like,
to instruct
loving him up and
to get out of the fescue is one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
Ike's the man. Big fan Ike. All right.
I love Ike.
Ike's the best. Let's keep it rolling.
By the way, I think Ike may have surpassed Ray Diddy as the most popular person
for the
general public at WIP.
Yeah.
Tom Kelly, Ray Dittinger, Ike Reese, who is more popular?
Oh, yeah, throw him that grenade.
Ray. Ike. Yeah, I mean,
Ike in second place, though?
Yeah, Ike's
Ray's
in second
place. Ray's like emeritus status.
Ike's in second place, and I got to say, John's probably in third.
All right, let's keep it rolling. You know, we couldn't do a drop of the week without a touch of sexual innuendo there. Yeah. In this case, it came at Jack's expense.
Just make it look like the sport is supposed to look.
You do wonder about his performance capability at this point.
I think he's like Alan Bone. Slam in the back,
a lot of similarities.
Yeah, I wasn't talking about baseball, but that's okay.
Oh, God, and you just keep rolling through. And it's so clear when you hear it what you're doing. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be job of the week without it.
Fair enough.
All right, a couple more. John, you know, has been very, you know, positive on Jack's chances.
Oh, he's done. This is a wrestling move. It's
John
a heel turn.
Is turning.
I think Jack is all about facade. I think he's all about bark, and then there's really no bite. None.
Right. Wow, after calling himself the big dog, he took that shot. I love it. How about it?
I hope what he's saying
Richie's
is true.
Really turning here.
I
this
mean,
is good. He's
I wish I felt.
Completely.
I wish I felt
he
like
is turning.
Look,
yeah,
and I appreciate
time.
It. I appreciate it a great deal.
Look, I wanted Joe to like learn a lesson.
I love it. I really do. My reaction to John's turn is
yes.
Thank you, Mark.
Yes,
you
very
know, this
happy.
Is not. It's not close to over.
We know.
No, I'm
we
not
know.
Saying it is.
I feel like I
we
don't know. Know.
But
I feel like...
your opinion of Jack and his chances has changed. It is what it is.
Yeah, that's clear.
I mean, as everyone has celebrated,
like
you know?
It has
yeah.
changed. I mean, like night and day.
Yeah,
flip flop. Much to my chagrin.
I can tell.
Man.
I think it's bothering the former athletes the most.
Most, by
the
far.
The former professional athletes, I think, are the most bothered.
Yeah, because they're like,
wasting.
How would you do this? Like,
Well, they also know they get criticized.
Abilities.
Yes, too.
By,
it's like,
by
hey,
the Jacks of the world. You know?
All right. We got one more from the show, and then two quick pieces of audio from the video that came out. Quickly, the last from the show. Had our guy Jolly on. He was great. Shout out to Jolly, but Jolly had this really funny line towards the end.
How clueless do you think Jack is to think that he had never hit a bad shot previously? Doesn't that seem like he was ill-prepared for, I don't know, any level of adversity in competition?
It seems to me, Tom, if he'd never hit a bad shot,
yeah, right,
he wouldn't be on WIP, he'd be on the PGA Tour.
He's Eric from Baltimore.
That was great.
Jolly inserting himself into all this has been amazing.
Dude, Jolly's become like the like Zelig of WIP. He's just everywhere and pops up on the, oh, this, let's get Jolly on. I love it. It's phenomenal.
I did too.
All right, two quick ones from the video that surfaced. If you haven't seen it, you can check it out on the WIP Twitter. A moment that was talked about a lot on the show. We actually got to, and you should see it, so you can see the video. But this is the moment where Jack takes the putt to win, misses. He's about a foot and a half away, maybe less, somewhere in that range.
Yeah.
And Joe won't let
him. Well, and let me just say this. Yeah. He picks up the ball. Which is outrageous,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, he didn't even ask it first. He's like, assume.
Yeah, John, he didn't even ask.
And then he missed the shot.
And he misses the next putt. I mean, think about it. But what you're going to hear is my reaction to him with his club scooping up the ball, which is totally outrageous in a real competition.
So here's what happened.
Nice putt.
Get in.
Oh! Oh, no, whoa, whoa. No, I'm not conceding that at all. I'm not trying to be a jerk. I'm just not concerned. No. It was not. It was right around here.
And that last part is he did go to put it back, like, way closer.
He went to put it back.
Like right next to the hole.
2 inches
from
the hole.
Yeah, no, it was very different.
He missed that?
Yeah, he missed
that. Yeah, he missed
that. Two-footer.
It was probably about 18 to 24 inches.
I would guess it was a foot and a half if I had to.
Yeah, 18 inches.
Put it.
He missed it. But there was a little slope, and that was part of why I'm also like, dude, no way. I mean.
Look. He didn't make it, so you were right not to give it to him.
Correct.
Like, one leads the other.
Correct.
Like, there's no other. All right, last thing. We heard you say it. Here's the actual moment when Jack concedes and Joe wins golf.
And line six.
You're good.
Good?
Yeah. Okay. Good job, buddy.
Nice match, man.
Good job.
Nice shot, man.
You conceded up there.
1-0.
You were going to play that game with strokes.
Nice shot.
Yeah. You can even hear Spike whining a little bit there.
About strokes. Yeah.
But hey, you know, that was it.
Yep.
That was the moment.
All right. Well,
and a muted hammer there, too.
Oh, you listen.
There was no celebration from you.
I'm trying to be very respectful, honestly. All right. So what wins there?
I think it's Ike. Just the visceral,
I think it's either Ike or Anthony.
Yeah, and maybe Anthony, actually.
John, Anthony or Ike?
I think it might be Anthony, actually, now that I think about it.
Jeez, it's sort of hard to keep track.
Anthony was basically hammered out with the bangs and all that stuff. And then Ike was that was disgraceful, was what he said.
I really liked Ike, his matter of fact. It's a toss-up for me.
TK, Ike or Anthony?
I like the Ike.
You know what? We're a big show. We have no problem giving an award to the afternoon show.
Absolutely.
Congrats to Ike. We love you, buddy.
I agree with
you deserve
that.
We do love Ike.
All right, so that's Drop of the Week. That's a segment, by the way, we normally do Friday in the 9 o'clock hour. If you're not used to hearing that segment, if you maybe get into work sometime soon. But that's a segment we do Fridays in the 9 o'clock hour. All right, Harper at the half. I got Bryce Harper's playoff stats in front of me. We'll get to that as we move through this segment. I was actually surprised looking at it to realize the Phillies have, this sounds like a big number. They have played 34 playoff games with Bryce Harper. I would not have thought it's that much. And it's 8 different series. Now, some of these series are best of threes that end up being only, you know, 2-game series.
8 different series.
Yeah.
That's incredible. I would not have thought that.
Well, in 2022 alone, they played 4.
Well, that helps.
Yeah, so, you know. But anyway, we'll get to his playoff stats and lay that out. We ask you if you hold it against Bryce that they have not won a World Series. One thing people, I think, do hold against him is that desire to, you know, and public request for a new contract, which, you know, Scott Boras kind of was the one carrying the flag. But that was,
yeah, that
I thought,
dicey.
Yeah, that, people didn't like that. People,
you know,
didn't like that.
You're talking postseason statistics.
Yeah.
You know his postseason OPS is over 1,000. Holy cow.
Whole career, you factor in the Washington stuff. And
yeah,
no, he's been a big-time performer. Wait till I give you these numbers. It's really impressive
all
stuff.
All-time, amongst the all-time greats in OPS in the postseason.
Yeah, he has stepped up, man. There's no doubt. I mean, again, I've said this before. I'll say it again. In my opinion, there's two people that it's absolutely not their fault that they haven't won a World Series. One is Bryce Harper and the other is Zach Wheeler. The others I can point to moments. Schwarber less so, but like you can think of big moments when Trey or Castellanos or guys in the bullpen. I mean, Nola, I'm a Nola fan, but let's be real. In 2022, as great as he was early in the postseason, he tailed off in that postseason. You also, and I love Ranger, but Ranger lost a Game 7 versus Arizona. Nola lost a Game 6 versus Arizona. Like, there have been some big moments where guys haven't delivered. To me, Bryson Wheeler. Now, look, Bryce Harper's not – he's going to have his games where he goes 0 for 4.
Well, and Wheeler struggled in that the first outing of the World Series, that game one of the World Series. Yeah, he had a bad outing in that game. Yeah.
Maybe his only.
I think it might be.
His only bad,
but that was a big spot, and he wasn't good.
It was a big spot. But, man, oh, man, I mean, I think Bryce, you're going to have your 0 for 4 because you're a hitter, and you play every day, and you're not going to have a hit every game. Otherwise, you're Joe DiMaggio in a hitting streak we still celebrate close to 100 years later. I mean, let's be real. The guy's going to have his 0 for 4s, but on the whole, he has been superb in the postseason. All right, Harper at the half. What do you make of him? Also, we'll do a little bit more in the me versus Jack thing, something Brandon Graham said on WIP earlier this week, his advice to Jack. We'll get to that shortly. Let's talk to Ed in Phoenixville. Hi, Ed.
Morning, team. Happy early 4th of July.
Thanks, Ed.
You too, buddy.
You too.
You know, my it was not a defining Bryce moment, but I believe it was opening day or opening series against the Braves, March 30th, 2019. We were up like 6-4, and Bryce Harper's up against a lefty, and he hit just one of those typical Bryce moonshots into like the third deck. And then he gets called out for the curtain call. And just, I think that was just for me, like the catalyst that kind of brought me back from the 6 or 7 year lull that we had been in. It's like, okay, we're back now. Let's do this thing.
And that's cool.
That was sort of like the inflection point for, you know, I didn't know what was going to, you know, where we're going to be 3 years later.
So, Ed, I have a slightly different one from that same time area, that range. I thought a great moment was the first time he ran out to right field home game at the beginning of that season and seeing, like, right field fans especially kind of rise up.
Well, remember he used to do the bow to them thing, too, and that he did that the first time, and it was like, really neat.
Because, Ed, like, I used the thing Nick Williams earlier. Like, you knew the Nick Williams days were over. I mean, like, it was a different era now.
when he said, what, did the computer make the lineup?
that was another one.
Nick Williams days were over from that moment.
Oh, my God. Anyway, Ed, I agree with you. That was special stuff. But it still took him 3 years to get off the ground as a team because they were still kind of 500 there until 2022.
Yeah, and I just, you know, don't want to harp. I don't want to dwell too much on the negative here, but it's just an eerie comparison with their situation with Harper's injury and Joel Embiid. Like, how do you, knowing that you're probably not going to get the full Harper again going forward, do you, like, play him a game or two, sit him, play him, sit him? Like, we need the full Harper to win a series.
No, I actually don't think that's true. I'll say this. They certainly could use the full Harper, but the pitching could do it. I mean, Ed, at some point he's not going to be their best player, and he may not be even now. And he may not be again. Like, this thing could transition. I referenced earlier, Dr. J, when the Sixers won the title, was no longer their best player. And by the way, some people will tell you they think Andrew Toney had also passed Doc, not just Moses. So, look, he's going to be here for a long time. I'm glad he's going to be here for a long time. You hope to get the best out of him, but I tend to think they've already gotten the best out of him. It doesn't mean, though, that they can't win it moving forward, even if he's diminished. It certainly will help, though, if he can still play at an extremely high level, and we're all waiting to find out whether he can or not.
Exactly.
You know?
Like, I hope everyone has a great, restful 4th of July, except for Dombrowski. He better be on those phones running at the back.
You're right. Give me an elite club, Ed. With an elite club, you can win Adam Sandler tickets.
Well, it's the club in which they awarded the Heisman Trophy until 2005. How about the Downtown Athletic Club?
That's pretty good. Yeah.
Pretty elite.
And they still do. What does he mean they don't award the Heisman Trophy?
They must not. I'm assuming it changed. I could check.
Well, they changed buildings at one point. I guess he means that. But I believe it's still called the Downtown Athletic Club. I could be wrong. But certainly I remember that name being said for many years. Let's go to Mike right now. Hi, Mike.
Joe, how are you doing, buddy?
Fantastic, pal.
Very good. It's been a while because I've been just riding the high of the birds right to the new season. All the sports could just ruin it. So I've just been focusing on the Eagles year-round.
That'll work.
So, yeah.
Well, I mean, and that'll work if that's what you want to do, but that's not my thing. I mean, I like to spread it out to all. I just wish the Flyers and Sixers would, you know, do better. But look, how about the Sixers? John, come on back. Eric Gordon. Holy hell.
Yeah, he's good.
John, year 17. Eric Gordon, I mean, he's had a nice career. Don't get me wrong. I'm not ripping him. I'm just saying, what a disappointment that, like, this is our guy, Eric Gordon, year 17.
About as pedestrian as it gets, isn't it?
All right, go ahead, Mike.
So, I mean, so all that said, there is a competition that has kind of got me, you know, a little reinvigorated, and that is this Joe versus Jack competition,
yeah,
which has been absolutely played like a maestro by you, Joe. I am so impressed with the way you've been handling this and the mental game that you are playing, whether it's intentional or not. You are showing to the young buck that mental toughness beats everything. It doesn't matter what kind of physical talent you have. It doesn't matter that you were on a college squad. It doesn't matter if your golf swing is prettier. Guess what? Mental toughness beats everything. And you showed him, and right now he doesn't know what to think. His mind is a mess. And you know what, Joe? I don't care if he throws 80 miles per hour. You're going to beat him in baseball because those first couple at-bats, if he's moving the ball all over the place, and if he walks one of your first or two at-bats, or if you even spray a single, it's over.
Well,
game over.
Well, here's the thing, Mike. So I want him to do well because I care about him, and I don't want him to, like, I'll use the word suffer. I will say this. I think there's going to be people there at Plymouth White Marsh High School Wednesday at noon. When he walks out to the mound, now he's a big favorite because this is baseball and this is sport he played in college. But when he walks out on that mound, James, you've said what? It's the loneliest place in sports is the mound?
Yeah, well, that's the famous Vin Scully line from the Sandy Koufax perfect game where he said, you know, the mound here at Dodger Stadium is the loneliest place in the world for Sandy Koufax
right now. Mike, when he walks
such
out there.
Such a great line because it's such a perfect way to describe it.
Mike, when he walks out there. You know he's going to have eight defenders with him, but, like, that ball is going to be in his hands. There's going to be a lot of responsibility on his shoulders. Now, he's very lucky to have the talent he has in baseball, and good for him. He cultivated that, and he's obviously, considered a much better baseball player than me. That's why it's a tough challenge for me. But, you know, I'm going to do my best. But I wonder how much that mound thing will be in his mind. You know, like, I'm out here. I'm talking from his standpoint. Like, I'm out here. And, you know, you're going to have Anthony in New Jersey, like, you know, barking at him. That's going to be tough for him. But he's got great talent.
Meltdown mound. That's what we're going to call it. Meltdown mound.
Well, we'll see if he answers back. Mike, give me an answer for an elite club.
It's a club of one, and it's the 50-50 club, Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah.
Oh,
absolutely.
Interesting.
Good answer.
Wow, that is pretty good.
Amazing.
All right, speaking of answers, we got an answer from Brandon Graham this week on advice to Jack, which, Sean, is ironic because obviously BG knows pro athletes, the you guys of the world. You know, you guys get ripped sometimes, and I think he probably enjoyed, you know, Jack being humbled just a bit. Let's listen to Brandon Graham. This is a few days ago after Jack had lost in golf. Here is BG on with Spike, Ike, and Jack.
I was wondering if you could give Jack any sort of advice about dealing with the pressure.
The weight of expectations.
What could you tell him to make sure that he is locked in the next competition?
Hey, well, what I could tell him is, hey, yeah, well, show them players some grace when you're talking stuff about them. When you say, oh, the pressure, you're a poor athlete. Oh, yeah. No, for real, though. But, you know what? It's all in your mind. You got to really, like, talk to yourself in a positive way. You got to flush it and move on. That's the biggest thing. You got to let it go. Next play. Because, honestly, it is. Like, that's the only thing you can control is the next competition.
Well, BG is right. John, does Jack strike you as a let-it-go kind of guy or a dwell-on-it kind of guy?
That's the root of the problem, isn't it? That he can't get past his previous he can't stop thinking and dwelling, and that's going to be his downfall. I hope he can rise above. I think this is on Ike. In Spike to try to talk sense.
Well, they're trying.
And get him leveled out. It's just about leveling him. You know, like just get him to where he can be even keeled because he should be able to.
He should be able to beat me in
baseball.
Rely on his natural skills
here. Yeah. Like, this is his sport. There's even no question. You're not feeling top notch that day, Come on, man. I mean, do your job. Yeah. In this case, it is throw strikes.
Yeah, I mean, based
Don't nick a bullet and walk guys home. You know,
you're right.
That's all you got to do.
Based on natural talent, he is a very heavy favorite in baseball.
Should be.
I mean, there's no question.
But is he a heavy favorite after the debacle that we witnessed?
I don't know. We're going to find out. All right, 215-592-9494, you can weigh in on all this, the Jack and me stuff. We're having some fun with it. Look at this. Lewis, thank you, sir. Lewis walking in here.
They the turkey clubs?
Lewis, are these the turkey clubs?
Wait, look at this. What happened
fries?
Here?
We got fries. Let me.
Beautiful.
Our fries.
This is unbelievable. Did you get Lewis to do this?
Huh? Thank you, Lewis.
Yeah, Lewis.
Thank you, Lewis.
Thanks, Lou.
And pull out my sandwich here.
Luckily, sandwich. Lewis is a paid employee and not an intern. Otherwise, you'd get into some trouble.
Seltzer, we got you a club.
About it.
Hey, TK, John and I wanted to get together. We got you a club.
Thank you.
So,
thank you,
turkey clubs all
this
around.
This is great. Beautiful.
Turkey clubs
Look
for seltzer.
What a kind human.
Just a few guys cutting it up, having some turkey clubs.
From me and John, we wanted to treat you guys and have some fun.
Look at you guys.
We enter the 4th of July holiday weekend. By the way, it's like more like a turkey sandwich with bacon at it. He couldn't find a place with a classic turkey club. Lewis, thank you.
Great job, Lewis.
Lewis was ordering this, but anyway, John and I wanted to make everyone feel good for the 4th of July. So we actually got this stuff. James, we'll get you some ketchup. I think I got extra ketchup over here, something like that. All right, let's go to the matter of facts. Yo, Lewis! There's no ketchup.
We got ketchup.
No. Okay, we got ketchup. Good. We got ketchup. My fault. All right, let's go to the phones. Jordan, he's calling from Princeton. By the way, happy 4th of July to everybody. Good morning, Jordan.
Good morning, Philadelphia. Good morning show. And happy 4th of July weekend to you fine people.
Yeah, Jordan, do me a favor. Talk for the next 12 minutes so I can eat a sandwich.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah.
Well, if you ask my wife, she will tell you I will have no problem talking to you for 12 minutes. So feel free to put the headphones down, turn the microphones off. I got you. No, actually, I had two neat stories. You know, one a general Philly story and one a story specific to Bryce Harper. But I called this show, I wax poetic a lot about the game of baseball. And thinking about these two, it reminds me why I am so passionate about the game of baseball. And why even when the Phillies disappoint me in the playoffs, I still love the game and I still keep coming back year after year. So yesterday was my birthday, turned 42. Woo,
happy birthday, buddy.
Happy birthday.
Nice.
Thank you. I was at the Phillies game. Great afternoon with my wife. We decided around 10 a.m. My kids are at overnight camp, decided around 10 a.m. to go to the game. And it's a Padres early game doubleheader loss. 32 years ago yesterday, I was at an early game Padres.
No way. You were at it?
I was at the early game.
Wow.
And my father, who I have mentioned on this show before, I love my dad for some reason. He was cool hanging out through the rain delays. And I think we left around 11:30. It was still game one. But
yeah.
I saw the early loss and didn't stay for the late win because Jordan had to go home and go to bed.
Well, of course. So, and by the way, there were only minuscule thousands there for the second game. Now, what is key, and this is a true thing, more people joined when the bars got out at 2 a.m.
100%.
No way.
The crowd increased after 2 a.m. John,
sort
the game
makes sense.
The game was begun after 1 a.m.
Yeah, it was like 1:20 or something like that.
Larry said that during the game yesterday, that more people were at the end of game two than the end of game one.
And
that
even so, it is wild. When you watch the clip, like you could tell there's like no one there. It's wild. I mean, it's 4:40 in the morning. The game ended. John, we would be here getting ready for our meeting when the game was ending. Think about that.
Yeah, that is so ridiculous.
Incredible.
And real gameplay in the first game was very delayed. I mean, I don't think they were really playing baseball until the 9 o'clock hour, maybe the early 10 o'clock hour. And I just remember huddling under the concourse. You know, my dad's buying me sodas and popcorn and everything. And he really stuck it out that night. And I appreciate it. It was my 10th birthday.
Wow.
You know, they do the confetti thing. I had a picture of it. Seltzer has the picture, actually. I was showing the picture to all the ball girls and just having a great time. So even though they lost yesterday, it just doesn't matter because, you know, for decades I've been spending my birthday with the Phillies.
That's very, very cool, Jordan. Yeah, and look, and nice. And you say they lost, and they did, but also nice job by Christopher Sanchez in the bounce-back game, because he pitched. I mean, he's not getting his due today. We're in a lot of directions with what we're discussing, but let's be real. He's very reliable. He's outstanding.
On fire.
Yeah.
Now, on Harper real quick, I've been going to spring training with my sons for 8 years now. We've been going. We missed the COVID year. But other than the COVID year and the lockout where we were down in Clearwater with no baseball, we go every year. And also, shout out to my older son, Harrison, who turns 12 today, away at overnight camp. This is him in this story. We're going down for our second year in Clearwater. It's an early March game. It just so happens it's the first time Harper is in a Phillies uniform.
Wow.
You know, they signed him. He goes through the physical. And we have these amazing tickets I can get once a year where you're right behind the managers at the dugout. Wow. And so Harper, this star, is there in a Phillies uniform, and he's 2 feet from us. The very first time he goes and he takes an at-bat, and he does score a run in that game. You know, just a
did his voice sound different when you heard him talk?
He was just as surly. You know, he's never been, if you see him up along the fence line, doesn't chat with fans. The guy obviously doesn't sign. He's been very consistent. I wish he'd be a little friendlier. You got a lot of friendly guys in this clubhouse. But, you know, here's the thing with Bryce. Bryce brought a lot of people back to Phillies baseball.
I agree with that.
You know, Bryce brought a lot of people together in this city, and he really adopted the city as his own. And, you know, say what you will about their performance in the playoffs, and I saw too many losses in person in the playoffs, but Bryce is a guy who brought baseball passion back to people in Philadelphia who had lost it. And I think should all be fortunate for that, save for the ticket prices, because – holy crap.
Yeah.
I mean, it's getting expensive. That's why we have a great fan base.
Yeah. All right, Jordan, an excellent phone call. Give me an elite club. You can win Adam Sandler tickets.
He was going back and forth on two, but I'm going to settle on the Union League Club of Philadelphia.
Oh, wow.
Iconic to the city and also memorialized in Trading Places, which is the best movie of all time.
And I believe begun during the Civil War. I believe Union Club began during the Civil War. All right, we got TK in for both Rhea and Devin today. Both off. Both will be back next week. So one thing we love about TK is the rant capability. Now, Tom,
I've been the hair.
Tom, I've been throwing topics at you, and then you're responding with a rant, if you can rev it up. But this time, no topic. This time, the topic is whatever you want to make it. It can be about sports. It can be non-sports. A Tom Kelly rant. Tom, what is something we should know from your brain?
Okay. Well, I'll just say this right now, because we're talking a lot about Bryce Harper, talking about this era of Phillies baseball. And as we lead up to this trade deadline, Joe, Dave Dombrowski's got to do something. Because you look at the last 2 years, Dave Dombrowski has failed. You look at the reason why the Phillies have not won a World Series. It's not because of Bryce Harper. It's not because of anybody else aside from Dave Dombrowski. 2023, who did he go out and get at the deadline? Michael Lorenzen and Rodolfo Castro. Awful. That's why the Phillies lost the World Series. You didn't replace Kimbrel, even though it was obviously he was going to fall apart. He always falls apart. He did in the Diamondback series. It killed them last year. You go out of the deadline, Tanner Banks, Carlos Estevez. Not good enough. Not good enough. You look at the outfield. We are still, for a third straight year, doing the Brandon Marsh, Johan Rojas thing. I get Marsh is hot right now. He's had a nice couple weeks. We know what Brandon Marsh is. He's not a starting center fielder. Rojas is not a starting center fielder. You can get the Max Keplers of the world, the Austin Hayes of the world. But the bottom line is, you've had one real outfielder for almost 3 years now. And that's the biggest reason why the Phillies have fallen short. And Dave Dombrowski needs to get on the phones at this deadline, and he needs to make moves to get this team over the top. That's bullpen pieces. That's a bat. I don't want to hear that the market was too rich for our blood. I don't want to hear we didn't want to give up prospects. You got to go get guys to go for this thing, because this is the last year of this core. We know Schwarber's probably gone. We know they're getting older. Bryce Harper's getting older. We know Castellanos is coming to the end of his contract. He's disappointed. But you need to go out and get pieces for this team to get over the top, because we can blame Rob Thompson all we want. We can blame the players. The bottom line is Dombrowski is most to blame. He has not gotten them the pieces they've needed, and he better do it this year.
I got to tell you, that one, John, was that I think
was a 10 out of 10. That was a 10 out of 10 right there. That was phenomenal.
That was his best one.
Do something, Dave. I can feel the rage coming.
All right, I like it. Also, I like the Twitter poll questions of the day. One's a look back, one's a look ahead. Both are brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin Chevrolet wishing the entire Delaware Valley a happy and safe 4th of July. Armin Chevrolet, closer than you think. Together, let's drive. First poll question, do you hold it against Bryce Harper that the Phillies have not won a World Series during his tenure here, yes or no? All four of us are a no. I know some people do. Do you hold it against them? Second poll question. With 6.5 years to go on the contract, put another way, 7 more Octobers. Hopefully they get to 7 Octobers, we'll say. Do you think the Phillies will win a World Series with Bryce Harper? Yes or no, you can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. One thing we know is the Phillies did not give in to his request. I don't know if demand would be the right term, and it's probably not the right term, but certainly his desire for a new contract, which first surfaced after the 2023 playoffs. So after the Phillies had made the playoffs the second time, they had another really good run. They end up losing in Game 7 Arizona. It was brutal fashion. But again, Bryce had been outstanding. Game 7, he didn't get a hit, but he had been really good in that postseason. And certainly, this is after year 5 of his contract, where if he had an out clause, he would have exercised it and gotten a whole big new contract from the Phillies. But he didn't have an out clause because he famously said he didn't want one and wanted to attach himself to Philly for 13 years. And that's part of what, you know, brought him goodwill and bought him goodwill early. But 2 years ago was maybe the main misstep he has had that for some people it's like, that's not cool. He was 5 years into a 13-year deal for $330 million, and he wanted more money paid into his 40s. Let's listen to what Scott Boras said when Boras went public with this. This is with, let me find this here. This is with John Heyman, Scott Boras talking about 20 months ago. Here's that exchange.
Is there anything that you can do? He's obviously not putting in an opt-out. Can you extend that contract, or is that crazy?
Bryce has mentioned that he wants to sit down with ownership and time and talk about it. He wants to achieve all of his goals in Philadelphia. He wants to obviously play into his, you know, early 40s. He has all those goals. He wants to really do everything he can to put up Hall of Fame numbers. I think he's committed to the game, committed to his city, and all those conversations will be coming forward at an appropriate time.
So if you notice what Boras did, he said it without, like, saying it. You know what I'm saying? Like, he put it out there, but he didn't say, like, yes, we want a new contract. But what he's saying is, yes, we want a new contract. Would you guys agree that that's the number one thing that bugged people about Bryce to this point?
We valued the fact that it came with the no trade clause, right, so much initially, and then you tried to pull the rug out of it.
A little bit, right?
You know, like,
I take it back. It's almost I take it back.
Right. You did the no trade clause initially, but then, you know, now you really don't want the no trade clause.
Right.
Like you're bending the rules.
You keep saying no trade. You mean opt out.
That's what I mean. Don't change the rules on us. That's part of what we valued so much, that loyalty.
Yeah. James, what do you think people bugs them more, that or that they haven't won in October?
I think that. I mean,
About him.
Because obviously not winning October. Yeah. Overall,
yes.
But I think about him, it's that, without a doubt. Here's my question to you, though.
Yeah.
Do you think if he, and I know it would be earlier in the contract, so that's an issue, but if he had done it after 2022, after Bedlam at the Bank and all that, do you think the reaction would have been the same?
I do, actually. So, look, here's the thing. He was riding high after 22. He was still pretty high after 23. But I think the fundamental thing is this. This is what I think cheese people. Number one, at John's point, it did feel like, hey, give me goodwill for not having an opt-out. Oh, by the way, I essentially want to achieve the same thing as having an opt-out. Give me a new contract. That's number one. But I think the main thing that rubbed people the wrong way, the main thing, and I know baseball contracts with Ohtani and others have gone higher since Bryce, but I think the main thing is for the regular person in society, okay, all of us that are just routine regular people, the concept of someone having a $330 million guaranteed contract where there was still like $200 million and something left, being like, yeah, but I want you to extend me. I know, by the way, do it into my 40s. It's like, come on.
The optics weren't good.
It just doesn't work for the regular person. You know, maybe the famous Hollywood star is like, yeah, that's right, use the leverage while you can. But the regular person, of which like 99.99% of us are just the regular person, it's like, come on, that ain't right. Especially when it's the team you root for, and you know paying him into his 40s is pretty freaking dumb. I mean, let's be real. Really is. So You know, and I applaud John Middleton and Dombrowski for not giving in on that one, because some organizations would have.
They just swatted it aside, really.
They really did.
Just like, yeah, okay.
They really.
Sure. Good for you, Bryce.
And do we also factor in the fact that, I mean, they are paying Trey Turner $300 million, yeah. And that's partially, I think, due to Bryce Harper wanting him here.
I agree with that as well. Yeah. Mm-hmm. By the way, Bryce, so you can react on the contract thing. Bryce's stats, let me just get to this from the postseason. Because they're very, very impressive. I'm going to give you only Philly stats. Because he played some games with Washington in the postseason. But here are his Philly stats. He's played in 34 games with the Phillies in the postseason. They've played in 8 different playoff rounds. They have won 5 of those rounds. They have obviously lost 3 times in the postseason. 34 games, he's got a .316 batting average, which is excellent. It's 117 at-bats, by the way. He's also walked 24 times, and we know sort of famously when you consider that teams like Arizona just flat pitched around them. That's where it was like, remember when Bohm wasn't coming through, John, in the Arizona series as the four-hole hitter? All right, so .316 batting average, .432 on-base percentage, which is big time. In 34 games, he's got 12 home runs, 24 RBIs, 29 runs scored. I mean, those are big numbers. Slugging percentage, I hate to say it, it's the only thing I actually couldn't find in my research. It's hard to describe. Just the way the stuff is online, I couldn't find just Philly's slugging percentage. I actually had to add up the on-base percentage myself. Slugging percentage, I couldn't find it. Here's what I can tell you, John, and this is very impressive. In the 8 series that the Phillies have had, because I do have his slugging percentage by series, in the 8 series the Phillies have played. Now, some of these series are only 2 games. Like, they beat the Marlins in 2 games.
Cardinals.
Beat the Cardinals in 2 games. Mm-hmm. The longest series they've had, I guess, would be the Astros. Oh, no, the Diamondbacks. Yeah, Diamondbacks 7. In the 8 series he's played, he's had, in 5 of the 8 series, a slugging percentage of .714 or higher.
That's asinine.
It is asinine.
It's beyond.
You know, I mean, that's incredible. In the postseason is 1.016.
And you're including the Nationals years there, right? Yeah, no, he's a red light player. I mean, the lights are bright. He's, you know, so look, he's, like I said earlier, he's going to have your 0-for-4 in the postseason. It's going to happen. I mean, it's, you know, you're not going to get a hit in every game. But, man, for the most part, I mean, he's been superb in the postseason.